Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. In 2018, the Nobel Prize in Literature was awarded to a Polish novelist named Olga Tokarczuk. And this year, the 2014 novel that many consider to be her magnum opus is finally being published in English, thanks to the work of our next guest. Jennifer Croft is a celebrated literary translator and an author herself. She works in both Spanish and Polish, and in 2018, she and Olga were awarded the Man Booker International Prize for Flights, another novel by the Nobel winner. On February 1st, her translation of The Books of Jacob will be published. No small feat, considering the book is 912 pages. The Books of Jacob tell the story of a real historical figure, Jacob Frank, who amassed a large and fervent following as he traveled across Europe in the 18th century, convinced he is a kind of Messiah. Translated literature in general is having a bit of a moment. It's not just Russian classics or Murakami dominating the translated shelves, but Danish memoirists, Mexican short story writers, and Polish novelists. So we thought we'd spend some time learning a bit more about literary translation, which is an absolute art, not a science. And who better to talk to than Jennifer Croft? Jennifer's translation of The Books of Jacob will be out February 1st, and Jennifer joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
When did you first discover your skill in this area?
Well, it's debatable whether or not I have such a skill, but I have been translating for quite a long time. I studied Russian first, and I had the opportunity. I grew up in Oklahoma, and I worked with one of the preeminent Russian poets of the 20th century who happened to somehow get marooned in Tulsa, Oklahoma, named Yevgeny Evtushenko. So in my late teens, I guess I got started translating, and then I did an MFA at the University of Iowa in literary translation starting in 2001.
And I understand you translate in Spanish as well as Polish. Is one more difficult than the other? How is it different when you translate in different languages?
Yeah, I think it is pretty different. And of course, I just want to say, like, up front before I answer any questions, that every translator really approaches their work differently in the same way that every writer and scholar approach their work differently. So I find that those two languages mean really different things to me. I have a very different emotional relationship with each of them. And because Polish is more different from English than Spanish is, it means really kind of taking the sentences apart and building new sentences in English, whereas Spanish is similar enough that there is sometimes the temptation to kind of leave things more or less in the same order, for example. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So I have to kind of be on guard that I don't use too many cognates and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that, because one of my points I wanted to make, or I wanted you to explain to listeners, is that translating isn't just going word by word, sentence to sentence. For example, what would happen if someone did that? What potentially could go wrong?
Well, so I have a lot of friends who translate from languages that are even more different, that are not Indo-European languages. So that would be an even more extreme case of this. But in the Slavic languages, nouns change based on how they're being used in the sentence. So I could say Jennifer is eating pizza or pizza is eating Jennifer, but because of the way the noun pizza changes, you know what's happening either way. So the order doesn't really matter. So you can't translate word for word from a Slavic language because things would stop making sense kind of immediately. And there are other structural differences, like Polish doesn't have articles, things like that, where you really have to transform as you're working.
My guest is Jennifer Croft. She is a translator. When you receive a manuscript from an author for you, and as we said, every translator approaches this differently, what's your first step?
Well, so actually mostly what I've done is in the past is just kind of look around, read a lot in the cultures that I'm really interested in, and I find books that I just fall in love with in the same way that enthusiastic readers fall in love with things all the time. And at that point, I get in touch with a publisher, or if I have mutual friends with the author, then I get in touch with them. But it doesn't happen that often that writers kind of out of the blue send me manuscripts. Olga did send me the manuscript for The Books of Jacob in 2014 before it was published, and I read it so quickly because it was such a fascinating and absorbing book that I immediately agreed to translate it without fully realizing, since I had read it on a screen, how long it was going to be and how long it was going to take me.
You know, I'm curious about the editorial process for a translator. What kind of editorial decisions do you have to make?
I try not to make too many editorial decisions. And, you know, with something like this, we were really lucky to be working with two excellent editors, Jacques Destart at Fitzcarraldo Editions in the UK, who originally acquired the book, and Rebecca Salatin at Riverhead in the US. So we did actually have quite a bit of editorial support. I try not to, you know, I think that the editing process is so in other cultures from how it is in the U.S. Certainly in Poland, there's less editing. So I read that that manuscript that Olga sent me, and then I read the published version of the novel, and there really were not very many changes at all. You know, an occasional word or an occasional copy edit, like a fact check kind of thing, but not even that much of that. Whereas in the U.S., like, the fact-checking process was so extensive and so meticulous. So there were changes at that stage, but I didn't really make too many of those changes when I was translating.
Generally speaking, how closely do you collaborate with the authors with whom you work?
That really depends. Again, I usually don't collaborate much with them as I'm working. I'm friends with everyone I translate, and I definitely maintain these relationships, and it's really important to me to know these people. I only translate contemporary literature. But I try to kind of let the book speak for itself. I find that if I start asking the author questions, I'm going to start bringing in all of this additional material that wasn't present in the first edition of the book in the original language. So I don't really want to do that. There are exceptions, though. I have been working pretty closely with an Argentine author named Federico Falco, whose book of short stories I published last year called A Perfect Cemetery. So he and I have a little bit more of a collaborative relationship, but that's unusual.
My guest is Jennifer Croft. She's a translator. Her latest work is The Books of Jacob by Olga Tokarczuk. I'm curious, and I don't know if you can think of any specific example, either from The Books of Jacob or from some other project that you've worked on. What was a translation puzzle that you had to solve that was a little bit thorny or difficult?
Well, kind of going back to what I was saying about bringing in the author, there was a passage in one of the first books that I translated, which was an autobiographical novel by Romina Paula in Argentina. And it's a story, it's a very moving story, kind of a coming of age tale about a girl who goes back to her native Patagonia when her friend commits suicide. And she's in her friend's room after her friend's death, and she's kind of surveying the objects there. And there's this long list of things. And there was one thing that neither I nor my editor could quite figure out. It was just a name, and it didn't really mean anything to either of us. And I did what I usually do. I Googled everything I possibly could think of, and I asked other native speakers of Argentine Spanish if it was a reference that I wasn't getting. And none of that worked, so I asked Romina, and she told me, she explained to me what it was. It was the name of the dog of the best friend. And so I inserted that explanation into my translation. But then when I read the next version of the novel just before it went to print, I felt really uncomfortable with that explanation, because I felt like it sort of violated the intimacy of these two friends that was there in the original. So I decided basically not to solve that puzzle for the reader. So sometimes that happens as well, that it's really important to respect the opacity of the original. If the original doesn't want to be fully understood, then I try to keep that in the translation too.
It's interesting to hear you describe that, and I think people might understand it on another level when people learn that you are a writer yourself, that you're working on a novel. You've written a memoir. How has being a writer yourself helped you as a translator?
I mean, I think translation is writing. It's just also reading, and also this kind of nimble balancing act between the two. But in a way, every translation is a writing project. I think that for me, the translations that I've done have enriched enormously my own writing, because each translation project has been kind of an apprenticeship that I do under a really gifted writer whom I really admire. And then hopefully the same is true in reverse. Hopefully the more I write, you know, the better I'm able to express certain ideas, and the more justice I'm able to do to the books that I choose to translate.
And this is, I like that you said you choose to translate. What does a book have to have for you to get on board to make this a project? Because with something like Olga Tokarczuk's work, it is a commitment, a time commitment.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't quite realize. I feel so fortunate to have spent this much time in this world that she created, which is really so magical. And I have been working with Olga for you know, almost 20 years now, actually. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is that draws me to a book. I love a balance between lightness and a kind of gravity. So I love like a little sense of humor, even when the author is tackling very difficult subjects. And I think that might be a connecting thread between all of the authors I've worked with. They are pretty different from each other, though. Like, superficially, I think it would be hard for people to, you know, I don't think that someone who loves Olga Tokarczuk would necessarily love Pedro Mairal, who is the most recent Argentine author I've published, and vice versa. So I like that too. Like, I'm not trying to impose my own voice on these projects, and I want to let them kind of speak for themselves while also acknowledging that I am mediating them and I am involved in them, and there's going to be some similarity that I introduce by translating these works, but I guess what they have in common is just that I read them and I loved them, and I'm excited to share them with more people.
Some people translate their own work, which is something that you did with your own memoir. You wrote in Spanish first and then in English. What is gained when a writer translates their own work?
I think that's something I would never do again for me.
Really? Interesting.
It was just so difficult. It was so much harder for me than translating someone else's work, because it forced me to examine on such a minute level every choice that I had made in writing the original. And then I started rewriting the original. And I think that happens a lot when writers translate themselves. And the books are different. Serpientes y Escaleras, which is the original Spanish version, is not the same book as Homesick. Homesick in the U.S. is called a memoir, and the other one is a novel, and they have different kind of outcomes for the characters and different relations. I have, obviously, a different relationship with the language, and I don't know, it became kind of overwhelming and confusing. I lost track of who I was trying to talk to, who I was telling the story to. And yeah, it was really, really hard. And I really admire people who can do that on a regular basis. I am in awe of them, because it took me forever.
Jennifer, last year you launched a campaign to ensure that translators were given credit for their work on the covers of the books they translate. You tweeted, "I'm not translating any more books without my name on the cover. Not only is it disrespectful to me, but it is also a disservice to the reader, who should know who chose the words they're going to read." Why is it so important that translators are credited, not just inside the book, but on the cover?
I think there are a lot of reasons. I mean, I think it's actually to the advantage, ultimately, of the publisher. There's this old idea that people don't trust translation, that translation is about loss, that poetry is what gets lost in translation, as Frost sort of said. And I don't think that that's really the case anymore. And if it is the case, it might have to do with these facts being hidden. So if you read a book and then you find out later that it was translated, that does feel like a betrayal. But if you know that there are multiple people behind a book, I don't see why that is really any different from, you know that many people made a movie, but it wouldn't occur to people to hide the identities of the actors or the director. So I think it's kind of similar with translation. I think people should know. They might find that they have favorite translators. I certainly read books based on who translated them. And then I also just think that it's high time to pay attention to the identity of the translator. Translation has been an overwhelmingly white field. It's very difficult to kind of get into publishing. And I think, you know, if we start foregrounding that fact, that identity of the translator, it will ultimately give more opportunities to a wider range of people who are working with a wider range of languages too. And that's another thing. I think it's important to the original author to kind of have it recognized that they didn't write this book in English. Olga would be horrified for people to think that she wrote her novels in English. She's a proud Pole. She writes in Polish. And I think that should be acknowledged too.
My guest has been literary translator Jennifer Croft. Jennifer's translations of The Books of Jacob will be out on February 1st. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.